You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with a life-changing encounter.
And so I thank God that we're able to secure our children. I can't remember, but there were seven little kids. They were probably in elementary school I was talking to, and I was at a couple of our leaders' kids, and I was talking. I said, are you saved? They said, yeah. I said, when you get saved? One of them said, a couple of years ago in vacation Bible school. Another one said, children's church. But they couldn't remember, you know, exact date. You know, one of the things that can be a downside to coming up in church is that you can be in this thing so long, you never have a real encounter with God. Oh, y'all hearing me here? I always have to tell this because Pastor Marcia, she don't voluntarily tell it. Okay? But Pastor Marcia, you know, she is who she is because she had a real encounter with God. She don't talk about it, but I always have to give the details about her encounter. And I had met her, and she was Catholic, and she was, you know, some had the privilege, and thank you, who came to my mother-in-law's home-going service, and when they saw the mass, and they realized, and some of you had never been to a Catholic mass, and they see the contrast between this, oh, and this, hey! And some people saying, how you come from that to this? Because she had an encounter with God. When you have an encounter with God, it goes beyond religion. When you have an encounter with God, it goes beyond the norm. Are you hearing me? When she got saved, she had an encounter with God. Preacher makes an altar call. She comes up, and we had a guest evangelist that afternoon. And evangelist, as he's getting ready to minister salvation to, he said, by the way, the Lord told me to tell you, your father's foot going to be all right. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, see the man that... He going to this crazy man talking about his father's foot. And he, you know. And so, and afterwards, I said, I'm sorry about the preacher talking about your father's foot and stuff. You know, sometimes people are off. She said, no. She said, I had just talked to my father that morning. And he told me, I asked him how he was doing. He told me he hurt his foot at work. So he, I guess God told him that my father's foot was going to be all right. I said, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. Because, you know, God moves like that. Later, because she had been a Catholic girl, I was trying to ease her into this thing. And see, we didn't get folks filled with the Holy Ghost like we did last night. We had to have a special service, and we're going to be there for a few hours. You know, and everybody don't have time for that. And so I didn't tell her nothing about the Holy Ghost, trying to ease her in, just getting her used to being saved. Couple weeks later, we had a service, and we up there praising and rejoicing, and she's sitting beside, and all of a sudden I hear something go, boom! And I look. And she laid out. She laid out with the chair. The chair fell down. Her legs on top of the chair. And she laid out going, hibba-la-ba-ba. I said, oh, that's called a Holy Ghost. I forgot to tell you about that part. My point about that is nobody ministered the Holy Ghost to her. See? Now, can I tell you all something? I would laugh with Pastor Mary after we were talking last night. See, because we came along with, you can tell those of us who come out of more traditional Pentecost, because we're always talking about it. We kind of long for the good old days. And we realize certain things are the way they are right now. We can't go back, so we just got to remind you. See, what our God said. And so she was talking about how we got, so when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was there for several hours, and I have been asking for several years. Okay? But she had a real encounter with God. And the reason why she needed an encounter with God, because God was taking me beyond tradition. Are you following me? And I needed somebody who could easily go, because they was never stuck. Oh, y'all are hearing me here. See, some of y'all, God can't do a new thing in your life because you too stuck in the old thing. He told me what I heard and the way we used to do it. And Jesus trying to do a new thing in this woman's life. And she talking about, well, I heard you're supposed to worship in the mountain. And y'all talking about you worship in Jerusalem. You're stuck. And you're watching. And in her case, she was stuck in ignorance. Because Jesus go on to say, it ain't even about where you worship. It's about who you worship. Come on. And it's about how you worship. And they that worship him got to worship him in spirit and in truth. This woman was ignorant and didn't know you're ignorant. That's the worst kind of ignorant. When you're so ignorant, you're too ignorant to know you're ignorant. That's when you're ignorant. Some of y'all know some people like that. This woman was ignorant but didn't realize it. She was ignorant that Jesus was trying to give her something beyond her religion. She was ignorant that God is a spirit and you gotta worship him in spirit and in truth. She was ignorant that Jesus was indeed greater than their common ancestor, Jacob. She was ignorant of the living water. She was ignorant of the God who she claimed that she worshiped, that he was a spirit. Paul says in Romans 10, verses 1 through 10, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You know, you can have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Come on now. See, when you come to the encounter, you got to have more than just a dance and a run and a jump. Come on now. That's being having a zeal. But you got to have some knowledge that when you leave here, you still walk in victory. You still walk in deliverance. He said they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans 10 and 3 said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about trying to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're trying to make things, something happen, rather than realize that God's already made it happen and just receive it. They're trying to do what Jesus has already done. They were ignorant. They're working for that which they just need to receive and claim. Can I tell you something? The devil will take advantage of your ignorance. The worst type of ignorance, like I said, is when you just don't even realize that you're ignorant. In 1 Peter 1 and 13, First Timothy, Paul talks about the fact, he says, where I was before, I was a blasphemer. And I was a persecutor, and I was injurious, meaning I did damage to the church of God. He said, but I did it ignorantly in unbelief. See, some people would do better if they knew better. Sometimes it can be so hard on people. Come on now, because you didn't always know what you know. Come on. Yeah, I know you know how to do it now. You didn't always know how to do it. Come on now. Hosea 4 and 6 said, my people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then he says, and some people, they reject the knowledge. You can do better if you let somebody teach you. And then the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 that Satan will take advantage of your ignorance, because lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If you don't know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you won't fight and stand your ground, because you think that everything that's happening, God did it. Mess with a sacred cow right now. We always go around talking about the Lord, give it the Lord, take it away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said that because he was ignorant. He didn't understand spiritual warfare. Stop going around singing the Lord gives, the Lord takes it away. The Lord is a giver. Come on now. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, certain things, if you don't realize that, you let the devil take what you ought to be holding on to. You let the devil rob what you ought to be fighting and telling. No, you will not have my child. You will not have my marriage. You will not have my house. You will not have my mind. Satan will take advantage of your ignorance. And the only way to not be ignorant is to have enough humility to allow somebody to teach you and expose you to more. And then after all is said and done, after we done set up all the services, after we done gave all the classes, after we do all the small groups, after we do book studies and Bible studies and bring people here and have special conferences and bring this one in and bring that one in, expose you to literature and CDs and DVDs and MP3s and digital download. After we've done all that, the Bible tells us, if you still going to be ignorant, you need to, maybe y'all just stand on 1 Corinthians 14:38. Look at that scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:38. But if any be ignorant, just let them be ignorant. That means you even have a right to be ignorant if you refuse to learn. Somebody say, I do not want to be ignorant. This encounter with Jesus exposed her ignorance. Come on now. Sometimes you have an encounter. Sometimes you come into a place and you thought you knew something. But this encounter exposes your ignorance. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought I was doing right. I thought this was what God wanted for me. But now I realize he want more for me than that. Thirdly, this encounter with Jesus exposed her need for salvation. Exposed her need for a savior. Jesus turned up the drama on this encounter when he told her to do something additional in verse 16. He tells in John 4:16, go call your husband and then come here. How many of y'all know that was a setup question? Go get your husband, then come back and let's continue this conversation. I want to talk to him too. And obviously, this woman was desperately trying to find the right man to satisfy the longing, watch this word now, in her thirsty soul. Sisters, the Lord don't want you to have a thirsty soul. Come on. When you're thirsty, you settle for the at least brother. Well, at least he take care of his six other children. At least he got a part-time job. But you got full-time bills. Y'all quiet on me now. I hit something. At least he got a bus ticket. Sometimes he let me hold his bus ticket. Thirsty. And here's the worst one. At least I got me a man. He don't need no bus ticket, no part-time job. You just saying you got a man. And some of you ain't even a band, man. You playing Build-A-Man. By the time I'm through with him, he gonna be. You 50. You don't have no time for gonna be. He got. let me use some incorrect English. He got to be is. He ain't got no time for he gonna be. You too old for gonna be. Either he is or he ain't. Woman was thirsty. She was thirsty, and Jesus knew she was thirsty. And she thought it was just about a natural thirst. But Jesus saw the longing in her soul. So go get your husband and come here. He was trying to satisfy her thirsty soul that only a savior can satisfy. So then she tried to turn the conversation back to religion. She said, go get your husband. Our fathers worshiped in the mountain, but I'm trying to talk to you about relationship. This encounter gave this woman a revelation of Jesus. Come on, look at somebody and say, you need a revelation of Jesus. Notice I didn't say a revelation of church. You need a revelation of Jesus. Not a revelation of religion. Not a revelation of protocol and how we do in church, how we act in church, what you wear to church. You need a revelation of Jesus. Because when you get a revelation of Jesus, you find a lot of this other stuff that they're talking about. Jesus ain't studying. Jesus is not concerned with. John 4:25-26. Jesus, woman says, I know that when Messiah comes, which is called Christ, he going to tell us all things. Jesus said, he that speaks to you am he. I'm the one. You got the right one, baby girl. I'm the one. It's an awesome thing to get a revelation of Jesus. This woman had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And three things changed as a result of her encounter. Number one, her thinking changed. Come on. When you really get a revelation of Jesus and have an encounter with Jesus, your thinking changed. Somebody said, free your mind and the rest will follow. Romans 12 and 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on. When your mind changes and your thinking changes, then your life will change. See, when you think better, you'll do better. When you think you're worth more, you'll attract more. Come on now. When you think you can do better, you're going to receive better. So low-level thinking is going to keep you living a low-level life. Low-level thinking is going to keep you around low-level people. Low-level people, you got to get your mind changed. The first thing that changes when you encounter Jesus, you think on another level. Because as a man, that includes a woman thinking, so is he. Ephesians 4:23, it tells us, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. He said, look at how you're thinking. Why? You have to ask the question, why do I think that? When Adam and Eve talked about they were naked, God asked them a question. Who told you that? Where did that thought come from? Who did you listen to that makes you think that's all there is in life? Who will you listen to tell you you can't do any better than this? Who will you listen to tell you that time is up now and this is the last train that's coming and you better jump on this one? Who told you that? Who am I preaching to up in here today? Change her thinking. Isaiah 55:7-8 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and God will have mercy upon him, and he'll abundantly pardon. Because God said, the reason why when you meet me, I'm going to change your mind. I got to give you a higher thought so you can have a higher life. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways than my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. So the first thing that gets that ought to change when you get born again, when you have an account with Jesus, you ought to think different. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be broke. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be despondent. I don't have to just drive this. I don't have to stay in this community. I don't have to be limited by my family. I think different. Look at somebody and say, you need an encounter with Jesus. Secondly, the second thing that changed with this woman, her desires changed. Her desires. We've learned now. Now, again, when Pastor Mary and I was coming along, we just looked at folks and we could see whether you're saved or not. We just looked at folks and said, they ain't saved. When I would come along, there wasn't no way Steve Harvey was saved. See, somebody say, still ain't. We just look at them and say, they ain't saved. Short dress, they ain't saved. Saw a tattoo, they need Jesus. Now y'all like, I don't care what you say, I'm saved with my tattoo. God knows what's in my heart. And so we had to learn that you can't judge people because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. But I still question, so I can't say who saved me, but I question people who say they're saved, but you still desire the same things. Because one of the things, when you really have a real encounter with Jesus, your desire ought to change. It changed so much that we forgot how we used to think And we used to say stuff like, the Lord delivered me from a miserable life of sin. And the truth of the matter is, we only know now it's miserable. Well, when you was doing it, it wasn't miserable. You were, hey, oh, party over here. Drop it like it's hot. Yes, sir. But now, because our desires have changed, come on now. Some of y'all, y'all can't be around cigarettes. It makes you sick. It makes you want to throw up. But you used to be the one making other folks sick and throw up. Puffing all day long. But your desires have changed. Come on now. I don't understand. People say you have an encounter with Jesus and you still have the same desires. Come on now. Because when we used to get saved, we used to say, the places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. The way I used to think, I don't think anymore. Come on, we need some more folks who have that kind of encounter with God, that your life changes. And you're not going around defending your right to be carnal. I can do this. I don't fit my salvation. Don't judge me. I'm saved by grace. No, you need a real encounter. When you have a real encounter, you see things from God's perspective and not your perspective. When you have a real encounter, you no longer live your life in the flesh to please yourself, but you want to please Him. I like it, but He doesn't, so I ain't going to do it. That's when you have a real encounter. I'm sorry. I know y'all don't hear this kind of preaching anymore. So Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if then, Paul said, now you said you're saved. You said you've been raised up to sit with Him in heavenly place. If then you be risen with Christ, then you ought to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says, set your affections. That means your mind and your thinking. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. He said, you got to start thinking different if you've had a real encounter with Christ. And desire what He wants for your life, not what you want for your life. Can I tell y'all something? I preached this a couple months ago for several weeks in our church. I did a series called It's About Jesus. Some kind of way we think we just saved for us. If all God wanted to do was save you for you, once you got saved, He would have taken you to heaven. But He leads you here on earth because He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to represent Him. He wants you to talk for Him and live for Him and love for Him to other people. It's about Him. Come on, look, somebody say, it's about Him.
Have you ever had an encounter with God that was unexplainable? God wants to have a personal encounter with you. When you allow God to infiltrate your life, you'll be changed forever. Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey and their ministry guests explain how your personal encounter with God will exceed all human reasoning. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order The Encounter 2017.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.